Tony Romo being suspended from CBS amid OWI charges is a story about more than one broadcaster's personal troubles. Colin Coward reported that CBS had harbored long-standing contract resentment toward Romo, suggesting the network may be using the legal situation as cover to exit a relationship that had become financially uncomfortable. Romo's contract, reportedly around $17 million annually, was signed when the bidding war for top NFL talent was at its peak. If CBS sees an opportunity to restructure that relationship at lower cost while maintaining the moral clarity of a conduct-based suspension, the incentive structure is obvious. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones praising Romo's character simultaneously is a reminder of how these situations get managed when multiple institutions with different interests are involved.
The Blue Bloods cast taking 25% pay cuts to save the show is a revealing window into how network television economics work in the streaming era. Tom Selleck's disclosure that the entire principal cast accepted reduced compensation to avoid cancellation shows the degree to which CBS was prepared to walk away even from a show that was still drawing solid numbers. The streaming platforms have changed the calculus. A show that might have run for 15 seasons under the old affiliate model now faces a harder question about whether its per-episode economics justify the licensing cost. The cast essentially chose guaranteed employment at lower rates over the risk of cancellation.
Harry and Meghan's accusation that Elon Musk is blocking child safety. AI legislation deserves more specificity than the coverage has provided. The allegation appears to center on lobbying activity and social media platform decisions at X that they say undermine proposed online child safety frameworks. Whether or not you find the accusers credible, the underlying policy question, how AI-powered content recommendation systems are governed when minors are involved, is substantive and has been working through legislative chambers in both the UK and California. The personalities make it a headline. The legislation makes it a policy story.
The FBI agent charged with stealing nearly $1 million in cryptocurrency from Bureau surveillance accounts is a case study in how institutional trust erodes. The agent had access to crypto wallets that the FBI had seized from criminals as part of surveillance operations. Using that access for personal enrichment while employed as a law enforcement officer is a profound breach of institutional integrity, and it will raise legitimate questions about the oversight structures around seized digital assets across federal agencies.
The Taco Bell Cyclospora recall situation, where Michigan health officials contacted Yum Brands about the parasite outbreak 2 weeks before any public warning, is the kind of corporate accountability gap that food safety advocates have flagged for years. Cyclospora is a waterborne parasite that causes prolonged gastrointestinal illness. A two-week delay between state health officials raising concerns and any public consumer warning is a meaningful gap in the protection framework. If the Bloomberg reporting holds, it raises direct questions about what Yum Brands was doing with those 2 weeks and who made the decision to delay.
Now, I want to take a step back from the daily news cycle and engage with something we should examine more honestly. The most confident consensus claim of this moment, from analysts, from pundits, from technology executives on both sides, is that the U.S. is in an AI race with China, and that race will determine technological and economic dominance for decades. The Hugging Face CEO saying China wins on open source, Anthropic's Mythos making Beijing nervous, CARP attacking Frontier Labs, while Palantir profits from government NEA. AI contracts, everything is framed through this race narrative. And I want to ask, what if the frame itself is wrong?
That's the right question to push on. The assumptions embedded in the AI race narrative are worth naming. First assumption, that AI capability is a coherent, measurable thing such that one country can be winning. Second assumption, that winning the AI capability race translates straightforwardly into economic or military advantage. Third assumption, that Chinese and American AI development are in zero-sum competition rather than, say, deeply interdependent. And fourth, that the current capability leaders will still be leading in 10 years.
On the first assumption, AI capability isn't one thing. Hugging Face's CEO is describing open source model performance, which is genuinely one arena where Chinese labs are competitive. But the Anthropic Mythos story is about something different, likely reasoning capability, or agentic systems, or national security applications. Palantir's blowout earnings are about enterprise deployment and military AI. These are different products in different markets. Saying China is winning the AI race conflates them in ways that can mislead policy.
The second assumption is where I'd push hardest. Historical technology races don't always translate to the outcomes the framers expected. Japan's semiconductor dominance in the 1980s was real, and it didn't translate into the comprehensive economic or strategic advantage that American analysts feared at the time. The U.S. retained advantages in software, system design, and capital allocation, even as Japan led in chip manufacturing. The question of whether AI model capability translates to economic advantage depends heavily on factors: data governance, regulatory environment, enterprise adoption, integration with existing systems that aren't determined by who releases the most capable model.
The third assumption, zero-sum competition, is probably the most dangerous, if wrong. The global AI supply chain remains deeply interdependent. Chinese AI companies use NVIDIA chips that were designed with US architecture. American AI companies rely on manufacturing capacity in Taiwan and South Korea that is within China's military reach. The entire race frame may be producing policy decisions that increase rather than decrease systemic risk if the underlying assumption of separability is incorrect.
So what do we watch for? If we're wrong that this is a straightforwardly competitive race where one side wins, the indicators would be: first, if we see major U.S. and Chinese AI companies cooperating on safety standards despite government rhetoric, that would suggest industry recognizes interdependence. Second, if Chinese AI models become deeply embedded in American consumer products, not as a threat but as a feature, that's integration, not competition. Third, if the winning AI lab 5 years from now turns out to be in neither country, perhaps in Europe or South Korea, that would suggest the geography of the race was the wrong unit of analysis all along.
None of that means the competitive pressures aren't real. Anthropic making China nervous is data. The export controls on NVIDIA chips are data. But the race metaphor carries assumptions that deserve interrogation, and this week's AI news is a good moment to apply that scrutiny.